This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy, I heard
you misunderstood
that!
Misunderstood.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? Now, just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. I'm flying solo this week as we've got guys out on assignment all over the place. We got guys sick. We got a sweeping flu epidemic running through this area, and I'm the only one left standing. So I get to talk to you this week about something that we've been hitting on a little bit lately, and that's the Baseball Hall of Fame. Obviously, with some of the comments that we've been talking about on here and kind of going in depth about, we now have the culmination of knowing who's in and who didn't make it this year. So first off, as a baseball fan, I want to congratulate the new electees, and that would be Jeff Bagwell, Tim Raines, and Ivan Pudge Rodriguez. I have some thoughts on all these guys and them getting in versus some of the guys that didn't get in and probably the whys that they didn't get in. First and foremost, you know, when it comes to Jeff Bagwell, I had the pleasure or the displeasure of watching him beat the hell out of my St. Louis Cardinals. He seemed like a Cardinal killer for the longest time. But I respected him, you know, for his talents, obviously, and just his abilities and things that he did. But the reality of it is a guy put up some really, really good numbers, seemed like a great player. I was on the fence as whether or not I felt like he was a Hall of Fame player. I know, in my opinion, he was the Hall of Very Good. But I guess he has some measurable stuff that you would say, yeah, he's right there. Tim Raines, I felt, was very deserving for a long time, and I'm surprised it took him this long to get in. I felt like he was undervalued as to what he brought. Sometimes those numbers that we speak of that you have to get in, I think cloud the judgment of writers and what a player really is and what he brings and how he does it. And then to let some other guys in and not him, I thought was interesting. Like, I'm a big proponent of trying to figure out what a Hall of Famer is and isn't and how we do it. And because, you know, I've always said, and you've heard me say it on here before, if Bill Mazeroski's a Hall of Famer, then there's a lot of guys that are Hall of Famers in my book. Ivan Rodriguez, I think without saying, for me, when I grew up, he felt like that guy that changed the catching position a little bit maybe for me, because typically what you saw were you had some guys that could hit and they weren't very good defensively. You had some guys that were great defensively that just couldn't put it together at the plate. Pudge Rodriguez seemed to do both. As I've gotten older and gotten to know more and more people and you learn and read more, he, like every other player, was not perfect. You know, they talk about the fact that maybe he didn't handle a pitching staff, and that is a thing that we don't know really because there's no stat for it. But the reality of it is that those are things you hear, right? But he had the big arm. He could hit, you know. No doubt about it. Now, the interesting thing is we can't talk about this without talking about the cloud over it. Bagwell, always rumors, more than rumors, I think, with Rodriguez, as I believe he was part of some reports. But neither guy in my that I know of, never suspended, obviously. Played in a time when I don't know that it was illegal. It was against the rules. Illegal, I guess, is a weird word. But, obviously, there are always doubt. There's going to be doubt. How do we handle that doubt? I don't know. I don't have a great answer because I think everybody's looking for a rule, and I don't know that you can have one, right? So I find it interesting that now, a couple years in a row, we've had some guys under that cloud of suspicion get in, you know, starting with Piazza, now Bagwell, Ivan Rodriguez. for those of you that want the PED users to be in, whether or not you want them to have an asterisk or whatever it is you want, it looks like we're moving towards acknowledging that and understanding that it is what it is just another thing that'll go on within the Hall of Fame, obviously. I've said it before. There's drunks, racists, wife beaters, philanderers. There's, you know, all types of characters in that Hall of Fame. Okay, is there room in the Hall of Fame for PED users? I would have to believe there is now. You know, I mean, again, you don't have to look any further, and our hypocrisy can only go so far. So, you know, congratulations to those guys. I'm on the record as saying I want Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in the Hall of Fame. Okay, I want them in. The guy that I feel fell short this year and didn't deserve to fall short, while I want Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, and I guess if the writers feel like this is their way of punishing them or whatever by making them wait, that's fine, whatever. They're the writers. They have the vote, which we're going to come to that in a minute too. The guy that I felt got the shaft this year, and I'll never understand this, is Trevor Hoffman. I don't get this one. So there are, you know, he falls 5 votes shy of the Hall of Fame. I'm going to bag on the writers a little bit here by saying I see some of the guys they voted for and didn't vote for Trevor Hoffman. Okay. I like some of the players they voted for. Okay. Trevor Hoffman has 600 saves. He is the, I don't know what else you're supposed to do. We talk about dominating your position for a period of time. Well, I don't know what else he was supposed to do. Okay. I don't get it. I don't understand. I don't know this. I don't know why this stance gets taken sometimes of, you know, what a Hall of Famer is and isn't by these guys. I'll never understand it. Trevor Hoffman should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. He, you know, until it's time for Mariano Rivera to go in, he is the best closer on that ballot and the best closer besides Mariano Rivera in baseball. I don't understand it. I don't get it. So, you know, somebody I wish would have to explain it to me. You know, they're the writers. It's their vote. They can do what they want. Something that I heard this morning, which I find interesting on the way in here, is that it sounds like they're going to start requiring these guys to reveal their ballot. And I don't have that confirmed. But if that is the case, I do want to talk about it because it was an interesting conversation that was going on the radio. And basically, my thought was this. Why shouldn't they have to show it? You're talking about a profession that if you were to not share what you were doing, they would rip you apart. Okay, if you're a GM of a club and you go to a reporter and say, I'm not going to share anything with you, it's none of your business, they're going to rip you apart because it's their job to report. So you can't ask for transparency from people. You can't rip on them when they don't give you transparency and then not give transparency. What you are doing, yes, you are a reporter, but what you are doing is news. It is interesting. People want to know. I want to know. Yes, I want to know why you're not voting for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. And if your answer is, I will never vote for a cheat, okay? Here's the issue. They know. They're not dummies because they do this for a living. What they know is they're going to get called out on their own hypocrisy, okay? Because what's going to happen is people are going to dissect their ballot. Okay, so it's going to start with, you know, it'll start first and foremost. The easiest one is the deserving guys, right? All right? Then it'll come to, obviously, our PED guys. They will get hammered for that because what's inevitably going to happen is a guy is going to say, well, I'm not voting for Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens because they were PED users. But they're inevitably going to vote for a guy and somebody's going to come and say, well, so you voted for a guy, though, that was at one time accused of domestic abuse. Or you voted for a guy that had a couple drunk drives. So it's okay to drink and drive, in your opinion, but it's not okay to take some steroids, which weren't even illegal at the time, according to the game of Major League Baseball, or against the rules. I keep screwing that up. I mean, there's a big difference between illegal and against their rules. Therefore, I absolutely believe 100% that these ballots should be made public. No doubt about it. You know what? It is a big job. It should be taken seriously. The reality of it is some of these guys do not take it seriously by their votes. Okay, now, every year when you see these guys that share their ballot, there is inevitably a guy, or we know who they voted for, maybe if they didn't vote. But there are guys that get voted for every year that are nowhere near Hall of Famers. Typically, a lot of times, it's a guy from their city, right? It's a guy from the city. An example would be if I'm sure when Jim Edmonds didn't get hardly any votes, he got a couple votes, I guarantee you. Now, he's a bad case because I actually think he got the shaft. That guy belongs in the Hall of Fame. He was the best center fielder in baseball for 10 years, okay? Without question, though, I guarantee the St. Louis guys voted for Jim Edmonds, okay? But if you were to take a guy, like, for instance, if I'm not mistaken, I think somebody voted for Edgar Renteria this year. We had Edgar Renteria here in St. Louis. He was a great player, great teammate. Everybody loved him. Everybody did this. He's nowhere close to being a Hall of Fame baseball player. He's a Hall of very good, okay, Hall of good. I guarantee you it's a writer from a city he played in that loved him. And I'm okay with you loving him, and I'm okay with you thinking a lot of him as a person, human being, whatever you want it to be, okay? But the reality of it is, if you didn't vote for Trevor Hoffman because you did that or whatever, I got a problem with that. That's an issue, okay? Again, people can say, well, it's my ballot. I'm going to do what I want with it. Well, okay. Now I'm back to something I've said before, and that is, who's deciding who gets to vote on these guys? And that brings me to this. I find out today that Bill Livingston from the Cleveland Plain Dealer turned in a blank ballot. Turned in a blank ballot. It was his, I'm going to try to use his words here, okay? It was his stance. He was going to take a stance against whatever. He was going to abstain. It was his way of abstaining from voting. Okay, well, there's a big controversy here because by rule, since he turned in a ballot, he voted for no one. If he doesn't turn his ballot in, then it changes the percentages. So either way, I don't really care about that because it turns out, you know, Trevor Hoffman needed 5 votes, not 1, as I mistakenly was told yesterday. But the reality of it is this guy, he wants, in my opinion, he's looking for somebody else to decide how he's supposed to vote for the PED era, okay? All right, because here's his explanation why he sat it out. MLB officials should devise a formal ruling on the steroid era. At least they should define it chronologically, probably from 1990 to the start of drug testing in 2003. Designate that era as a separate voting classification or use an asterisk for suspects indicating the likely use of PEDs. Whatever baseball does, some kind of guidelines needs to be set up. Until they decide what to do about the stain on the game, I abstain. Okay, for starters, let's talk about that stain on the game that he's discussing. Okay, he has benefited from that quote-unquote stain on the game like a lot of people have that they want to have this stain for, okay, number one. Number two, as I've discussed on this show and other shows when I've been asked about it, you can't put a time on it. If you are ignorant enough to say that PED use started in 1990, then you need to go back to the sand pile you had your head buried in. If you don't think guys were using PEDs before 1990, him saying that makes him just as ignorant as the people that he thinks are ignorant. Okay? Hands down. I would love to have a conversation with this man about it. There is no way that steroids weren't running rampant in baseball in the 80s. I watched it. I watched baseball in the 80s. I watched little fast guys with arms the size of tree trunks. Okay? And just like these other guys, at some juncture in their career, they're back down to their regular size. Everybody's talking about Pudge Rodriguez being the example. Okay? I watched it happen in the 80s. All right, some of my favorite players who I'm not going to mention because it doesn't do me any good to. I watched it happen. And I'm not going to accuse people, okay? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they ate a lot of chicken. Maybe they really hit the weights. I don't know. I don't know. That's the problem. Therein lies the issue. We don't know. Okay, my favorite is, well, look at him. Look at Jeff Bagwell. Just look at him. He was a steroid user. Okay. I got you. He was a steroid user. Look at him. Look how built he is. Look how strong he was. Look at the home runs the guy hit. Look at him. He was a steroid user. Well, look at D. Gordon. Does he look like a steroid user to you? Okay, so let's stop with the boy, he looked like a steroid user, or he fit the pro. He was hurt all the time. Don't those cause issues? Okay. Well, I know a lot of guys that were hurt all the time that didn't take steroids. I hurt all the time. I didn't take steroids. Okay. So I'm done with it. Unless you fail the test, unless there's something going on that links you to it in a criminal capacity, we have to accept it for what it is. And again, I go back to, I want this guy, this Bill Livingston, okay, I want him to take a stance against the Hall of Fame for some of the guys that are in there. I'd like to see this guy take a stance and say, how is Shoeless Joe Jackson not in, but Ty Cobb's in? I want him to do that, okay? That's what I want. I don't understand. This guy is looking for somebody to bail him out of a tough spot. Okay, and here's the thing. Here's where it gets interesting. I don't believe there's a right answer either way. What I do believe is that all you can do, and especially if you're charged with doing it, okay, then do it. See, he obviously, okay, feels a certain way about this. Okay, so vote the way you vote. There's a lot of guys doing that too, all right? Shape it. Be part of it. You're part of that process. You have been tasked with shaping the Hall of Fame. Okay, so shape it. Don't look everywhere else for answers. Okay? Who are you asking to shape it? I mean, they've asked you to do this. What you should do is, if this is how you feel, say, I don't want to vote any longer. Take me off the list. I don't feel good about it. Because here's another thing. This is my classic part of his issue, too, that I have a real problem with. Here's another one. Excuse me. He wants that date. He wants that chronological date to be 1990 to 2003. So once again, I've already discussed the before. Now let's talk about the after. So in his opinion, after 2003, I guess, if you fail a test, you're ineligible for the Hall of Fame. Are we to believe that the only guys taking PEDs are the guys that are failing tests? Do we really believe that when a D. Gordon flunks up the PED test, or a Manny Ramirez, or whoever, that these guys just started taking steroids and they got caught because they started taking them? Or have they been doing them and it caught up with them because, you know, whatever they're doing to hide it, the testing got better and finally caught up to them and they didn't stay ahead of the game? Because if you've paid any attention to this at all, that's exactly what's going on out there. It's a race. Okay, the guys that are helping these guys take whatever it is they're taking, they're not just drug dealers, okay? They're not the guy on the corner going, hey, man, you want some Dynabol? Hey, man, you want some Androstenedione down? Hey, man, I got some human growth hormone here. That's not who they are. They are scientists that are saying, yes, I have this. And here's what else I have. I have something that will prevent you from getting caught. Okay, now, that's the drug dealer that we deal with today. It's not the one that you see in the movies that's on the corner when it comes to these guys, okay? And what we have over here is we have Major League Baseball going, playing the role of the cop, saying, we have to step up our efforts so that we can catch this guy over here. Well, here's what they're doing to get away from us. Okay, so now they have this. Now we need to find a way. So what happens is somewhere, occasionally, this guy's still using old stuff, and Major League Baseball's figured out a way to get through that, and that guy gets caught. And then this guy over here says, oh, well, we need to come up with something new. They figured out a way to do that. That's what's going on. If you don't see that, well, then put your head back in the sand and just watch the game. And I'm okay with that. Listen, in my opinion on that stance, to each his own on that, whether you're a fan, writer, whatever you want to be. I've thrown my hands up and said, basically, I don't really care. That's Major League Baseball's problem. I just want to watch the game be played. Well, don't you want to watch it played pure? It's never been played pure. There's another thing. It's never been played pure, really. Okay? Well, describe pure. Now, I wasn't alive in the 30s, in the 40s. I didn't see Babe Ruth play. I didn't see Ted Williams play. I didn't see Ty Cobb play. Sorry about that. This damn cough. Anyway, I didn't get to see that. If that's what you want to call pure baseball, I'll go with you on it. That's fine. Okay? But I assure you, a player since the beginning of time have always tried to get an edge. Now, how they get that edge is always up for debate, right? People didn't just start, like, one day say, let's take some amphetamines or let's take some cocaine because it makes me a better player. Or let's. I mean, that's because that mentality comes from a generation before them that were always pushing the envelope with something else. Now, we define as a society what's good, bad, illegal, not illegal, right? We do that. And that's fine. I got no issue. Okay? But it's always going to be that way. They are always going to push the envelope, whether it be legal or illegal. They're going to push the envelope with the way they train, speed training, strength training, how we train, how often we train, where we go to get this training, what we do, how we do it. No issue. I get it. I got it. I don't care. I'm good with it. Whatever they decide to do. And whatever Major League Baseball, I'll live with it. If Major League Baseball come out tomorrow and said anybody that has ever failed a test is illegal for the Hall of Fame, I'd be like, okay. It would be it'd be unfair to the guys, okay, that fail the test and had the playing ability and the numbers, whatever you want, the career, to be in the Hall of Fame. Because what would happen is that they would sit here and say, okay, so let me get this straight. I'm out because I failed a test. But I, you know, and they would, most guys wouldn't do this. Jose Canseco obviously did it, but most guys would not do this. But let's just say, for example, and we'll use player X and Y, because I'm not going to say names because I don't accuse people. I mean, if I don't see it, if I don't know it, I don't accuse somebody, right? Player X failed the test. Player X had 3,000 hits, hit 300 for a career, hit 500 home runs. He don't get in the Hall of Fame because he failed one test, okay? I got it. I'm with you. No problem. He played 10 years in town in the middle of nowhere, in wherever USA, with player Y, who had 3,000 hits and hit 500 home runs, hit 300 for a career, and he's going to the Hall of Fame, and he never failed a test. But this guy took a needle and shoved it in his ass for 10 years, but he never failed a test, and he's going in the Hall of Fame. Now, how do you think that works? Because it's happening, and it will happen. It's probably already happened, and I don't care. I just want to know what we're doing. I want to know where we sit. I want to know where we go from here. That's all. It's always going to be somebody pushing the envelope. Get used to it. That's the way of the world. If you're young, if you're a young person, get used to it. You have to make decisions, right? Bob Gibson said it best. He doesn't know. Mike Schmidt said, hey, I'm not sure. I don't know. I might have taken him. I might have. You can sit there all day long and say, I would never take him. But you ain't never been sitting at Triple A hitting 280 with 10 home runs thinking, man, if I jump my average 20 points and pick up my home run total, I'm in the big leagues, making big money, playing in front of 40,000, traveling, doing all the things I want to do, achieving my dream, and all I got to do is stick a needle in my arm. Right? Especially today. Let's be realistic about what they're taking today versus the horse stuff they took 40 years ago. And I am saying 40 years ago because I guarantee you, it was happening 40, 50 years ago, okay? Just all you got to do is do some research, people. Get your head out of the sand and Google it a little bit. Guys were taking steroids in the NFL in the 60s, okay? It's documented. Guys on record, okay? So what do you do? I don't know. I don't know. I ask you. I'd love to hear it. But the reality of it is we got three guys going in. I feel like all three deserve to be in the Hall of Fame, okay? I'm happy for them. I think you could make a case that they were all really good players, really, really good players. Were they great? I mean, again, define great, but I'm happy for all three of them. I feel like they were all, you know, important parts of Major League Baseball history and the way they went about it. I'm good with it. The guy that didn't get in that I felt, I'll be honest with you, of all three of them, I feel like Trevor Hoffman deserved to be in before all the three that got in. But I also feel Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds belong in front of all three of them. That's my personal opinion. The reality of it is the voters, right, wrong, or indifferent, chose who they chose, and we'll live with it. And listen, this will all sort itself out over time just like everything else. But I will say this. The one thing that I thought would sort itself out over time was Pete Rose, and it has not. And that makes me sad. Because, again, I think we've chosen to make an example of Pete Rose, which I'm not quite sure that's the right thing to do, but that's what they've done. There's no other explanation for it. I've tried to make excuses for the Pete Rose thing by saying, well, if he'd have just come out and said he was sorry instead of dragging it on and on for years and lying that he'd be in, because we are a forgiving society, right? I don't know. I'm not quite sure how this one's going to end up for Pete. I'm not quite sure he ever gets in, just because. You know, again, do they make him the example? Well, are you really making him an example if you say, you know, we're going to go ahead and let everybody in? I don't know. I don't have great answers. That's what makes this a great topic, right? Because we probably all feel different. Some of you out there listening to this show going, you're an asshole. How in the world do you want these cheaters in our Hall of Fame? Well, I've told you already, and you can look it up. You don't have to trust me on this. There are cheaters in there. They're in there. They're in there. Trust me. Okay? Well, Barry Bonds was an asshole. Well, there's a lot of assholes in the Hall of Fame. Okay? A lot of them. I've told you. You've heard me. Racists, drunks, philanderers, wife beaters, cheats. Yes, cheats. Guys that cheated the game, guys that cheated during the game. They're in there. Your Hall of Fame that you're so protective of is filled with them. You know why they're filled with them? And this is what kills me. Do you know why? Because it's filled with what? Human beings. Last time I checked, and I don't know if you're a religious person, but Jesus Christ is not in the Hall of Fame. And to my knowledge, if you are a religious person, he's the only perfect person. So it is full of human beings. So I wish everybody luck with their own decisions and how they have to choose how they're going to do this. I don't expect anybody to adhere to my guidelines. But again, I'm going to stick with what I said. The Hall of Fame is full of cheats, racists, philanderers, drunks. So to keep out some guys that you think are cheats makes you a hypocrite unless you have an issue with who's in there already. I wish you luck in your endeavors as you try to figure out for yourself who goes in there. I would challenge Mr. Livingston. I'll reach out to you, pal. Don't you be fooled. I'll find you on social media because I would love for you to explain to me why it's somebody else's job to do your job. You've been asked to fill out a ballot. You've been asked to decide who goes in the Hall of Fame and shape it. And by you sending in a blank ballot requesting Major League Baseball give you guidelines and you send in something that stupid that you want an asterisk from 1990 to 2003 shows me that all you want to do is bury your head in the sand and have somebody tell you how to vote. Good luck, Mr. Livingston, with your future as a Hall of Fame balloter. To all the guys that did not vote for Trevor Hoffman, shame on you. And we'll see what happens next year, I guess. This is Jim Cromer with the Bleacher Bums. I want to remind you to check us out at Bums Podcast on Twitter. Go to bleacherbumspodcast.com to hear some of our latest shows and catch up on some of the newest ones. And hear this one, in fact. Subscribing to the show is just as easy as going to bleacherbumspodcast.com. Special thanks to lineupmedia.fm for all their support of the show, and that's where you'll go to check out some new podcasts, check out some of the great entertainment going on. Facebook as well, just search Bleacher Bums Podcast. We appreciate all your support out there in baseball land. Congratulations to our new Hall of Famers. We'll see you next week.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.